Hey, Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford's suspended campaign manager says it is very likely he will not return to his post. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Howard Calloway held a news conference Wednesday evening in Atlanta and strongly denied allegations of any wrongdoing in connection with his ski resort in Colorado. He said that at the time he stepped aside from the president's organization 2 weeks ago, Mr. Ford told him he was confident he would be exonerated and wanted him back in the campaign. But Calloway now says that may have changed. He says he is to meet with the president in the next few days. More news in a moment.
Movies, 1976. I'm Lee Jordan with a delightful weekend for you. The Movies, 1976. George Burns talks about getting his part in The Sunshine Boys.
This is the first time I used the name Bat Lewis. I didn't use my own name. So when I knocked on the door and Dick Benjamin opened up the door and he says, Mr. Lewis, come in. I didn't know who the hell he was talking to. And I looked around and I thought maybe Jerry Lewis got the part. Finally, he says, that's you. I says, oh, and then I started to act. I says, hello. And you say, hello, you're a good actor.
George Burns of the Sunshine Boys, his first film role since the 30s. You'll hear from all the top stars like Jack Nicholson, Robert Shaw, Glenda Jackson, and many others. We'll also talk with the people behind the scenes, producers, directors, and talk of the top films like Dog Day Afternoon, Jaws, and Nashville. Join me for the Movies 1976, 30 special broadcasts, the weekend of March 27th and 28th on the CBS Radio Network.
Campaigning in Milwaukee in a bid for votes in the Wisconsin primary April 6th, Democratic presidential aspirant Jimmy Carter predicted he'll come out on top of Henry Jackson and maybe the favored Morris Udall. Carter, fresh from his victory in North Carolina, received an enthusiastic reception from students at Marquette University. Udall campaigned in Madison, Wisconsin, accusing Carter of ducking the issues.
I really can't quarrel with Jimmy Carter's political strategy. He has succeeded in convincing conservatives that he's conservative, liberals he's liberals, and moderates that he's moderate. And that's a pretty good day's work if you can do it, and it's succeeded. Somebody in the press corps said a couple of days ago that if Ford and Carter were the nominees and abortion became an issue, all points of view would be represented because Ford would be in the middle and Carter on both sides.
Said Carter is in for the fight of his life in Wisconsin. New York City officials have recently expressed concern about a flight of business and industry. The Union Carbide Corporation recently announced plans to move its headquarters out of Manhattan. Wednesday, Exxon Corporation said it will move its tanker department to New Jersey. And the American Stock Exchange is weighing a possible move out of Lower Manhattan. The situation was explained by John Sheehan, vice president of the American Exchange.
The states of New Jersey and Connecticut have made proposals to the American Stock Exchange to relocate its facilities as an alternative way to meet the longer-range needs of the exchange than we are discussing in this present short-term expansion program. The Board of Governors of the exchange feels that the American Exchange must examine the various alternatives with the long-range objective of maintaining the most efficient and competitive marketplace for the investing public and for listed companies and member organizations.
But Sheehan added, it is the hope and the intent of all concerned that the American Stock Exchange can remain in New York City. Two moderate earthquakes struck south-central states Wednesday night, rattling homes and causing some minor damage, but no reported injuries. The jolts were felt in seven states from Illinois to Mississippi. The Earthquake Center in Colorado said they measured between 4.5 and 5 on the Richter scale. President Ford says he wants to see every person in America vaccinated before next winter against an epidemic of flu strain which has been dormant for nearly half a century. Officials say the strain, which is known as the swine flu because it was first isolated in hogs, has not been around since 1918, and therefore every person under 50 is susceptible. Among the measures President Ford wants to take for the inoculation of the entire population, a $135 million appropriation from Congress so that large quantities of vaccine can be ordered. Now this.
Hello, this is Leonard Nimoy. 5,000 years ago, a wise Egyptian named Imhotep was the first to recognize the connection between the pulse and the beat of the heart. 300 years ago, a learned English physician, William Harvey, discovered that the blood circulates in the human body in a closed system. Today, doctors substitute artificial valves for diseased ones. Tomorrow, artificial hearts, the prevention of stroke and heart attack. Impossible? It can happen because of you. Your generous support of your heart association in the past has made possible the kind of research that has resulted in many of the miracles we almost take for granted today. Your further contributions to the Heart Fund will help reduce the tragic toll of death and disability caused by our nation's number one killer. So keep giving and give generously. Remember, heart disease and blood vessel disease can be conquered, but only you can make it happen. Thank you.
Two prominent Catholic bishops appeared Wednesday before a congressional panel, and they urged Congress to pass a constitutional amendment to outlaw abortion. Terence Cardinal Cook of New York said abortion is a terrible violation of human rights for the unborn. Archbishop L. Bernardin of Cincinnati said abortion is wrong in and of itself. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, Don Wilner says if he's elected Attorney General, one of his first actions would be the establishment of an antitrust division to ensure vigorous enforcement of antitrust laws. Wilner told the Portland Kiwanis Club today that he would carefully scrutinize all mergers or consolidations which have the effect of concentrating control on Oregon industries in out-of-state hands for potential antitrust abuses. Lane Community College has been selected to participate in a national project to develop materials for health sciences education. LCC will receive about $17,000 from a $360,000 grant to the League for Innovation. That's an associate of the 16 community college districts in 11 states. Two main issues in February's school teacher strike will not be points of dispute in the 1977-1976 contract talks. The issues are just cause and teacher evaluation procedures. Representatives of the Roseburg Education Association and school board met in an initial bargaining session last night and agreed not to include the issues. REA negotiator John Joseph said the school board is apparently willing to let stand the president teacher evaluation procedure in the new contract. The Coast Guard made harbor checks along the west coast and up the Columbia River today for a 34-foot pleasure boat that's 4 days overdue. The boat left Bodega Bay, California on March 10th, bound for Carson, Washington. The trip should have taken 10 days. Coast Guard Captain George Crescenti said bad weather delayed helicopter search operations, and the weather's causing some problems up north, too. Fierce wind and rainstorms that slammed into Washington State today have been blamed for 3 deaths. The storms caused power outages in many areas and whipped up blinding snow and dust squalls that cut the visibility on many roads and highways. 3 persons died when a car rammed into the rear of a truck trailer rig in the Yakima Valley. Police say the rig was creeping down the highway because blowing dust had reduced visibility to almost zero. Look for some showers and partial clearing tonight and Thursday. Lows both nights in the upper 30s, highs Thursday near 50, and Friday in the mid-50s. Chance of rainfall tonight, 80%. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, your guide as we embark on a journey through a dark labyrinth of horror. But do not be afraid. I will be with you every terrifying minute. Together we will probe a ghostly shroud of mystery that thus far has concealed a horrible murder. I assure you, you will be in no danger. All that you see and hear takes place in your imagination. You cannot lose your life. You can only lose your mind.
This pendant, I've seen it before. These ancient Egyptian symbols, the cat's eye. It belongs to Dr. Kadar.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive. He was wearing it when I met him at Inspector Warren's house. I remember looking into it, feeling strange, somewhat hypnotized.
Well, stop staring at it, Lieutenant.
I can't. I feel controlled by a sort of supernatural presence.
Look.
Huh?
That strange form, there, beside the open grave. I don't see anything.
It's moving toward the crypt. We've got to follow it. There's something there. The apparition wants us to see it.
Well, there's nothing out there, Lieutenant. Come back! Come back!
Our mystery drama, Brain Drain, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Ralph Goodman and stars Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Have you ever seen one of those ingenious, many-bladed pocket knives with folding blades and tools for every conceivable task? Well, now True Value Hardware Stores offer a portable power system that you can use to accomplish those many different tasks around your home. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that True Value Hardware Stores offer Campbell Housefelt air compressors. With a Campbell Housefelt compressor and attachments, you can paint, caulk, glue, sand, nail, staple, drill, wrench, spray, inflate, dust, and clean. And you can do things you had to do by hand before, like clean window screens, clear leaves from gutters, lubricate a car, spray insecticide, inflate tires and toys, and remove rust, and paint large areas fast. And now, right in time for outdoor chores this spring, you can get a basic Campbell Housefelt air compressor, a 1/2 horsepower model, for just $99. You'll find this portable, versatile power system at your participating True Value Hardware store. You can charge it on Master Charge at most stores.
I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way. Born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence. The March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects. A life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way. And birth defects are forever, unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. A tomorrow without handicaps at birth. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
Most tales of terror begin just before a gruesome murder is about to take place. Our story begins after the fact. Space scientist Carl von Linden is already dead. His murder, if it was murder, was neither unusual nor gruesome. But there were strange circumstances surrounding his sudden and unexplained demise. Investigating these circumstances is Charles Carey, a government agent assigned by his superiors at the Bureau to make a routine check of the situation. With him at the dead man's apartment is his assistant, Henry Boggs. What they are about to discover is anything but routine.
Here we are, Lieutenant. I believe this was von Linden's apartment number 17.
Yep. I've been here many times, Boggs. Under more pleasant circumstances.
You and he were good friends. His death must have come as quite a shock to you.
I was such a young man, just turned 30. One of the most promising scientists the department has ever known. Open the door, Boggs. You have the keys?
Right, sir. Well, the rooms are rather large, comfortably furnished.
Yep. Von Linden and I spent many evenings here trying to outguess each other's moves on that chess set.
What did he talk about?
Oh, everything. Anything. Except those top secret experiments he was conducting. He was always open, friendly, easy to talk to. That is, until last week when he returned from Cairo.
Cairo? Well, then these must be the souvenirs of the trip. Excellent photos of the pyramid.
Yeah, he showed them to me. There's one picture there that still baffles me, though.
Which one?
This one, here.
of Von Linden standing at the entrance of a large pyramid. You see, look, he's standing at one side, looking to his left, smiling, as though he was being photographed with someone else. But there's no one else in the photo. Huh?
Well, now that you mention it, that is rather strange. Did you ever ask him about it?
No, no. He didn't seem to want to talk about that trip. There was this girl, Tara, I believe her name was, a young woman with a strange hypnotic quality. He was glad to return home to escape her spell.
Well, you don't think this Tara could have had any connection with his death?
That's not likely. She was in Egypt when he died. She called him just before he had that fatal stroke. No, unless there's some way you can kill a man through hypnotic suggestion, we'll have to rule Tara out as a suspect. Here, have a look at her.
Among these photos?
No, on this easel. There's a painting Von Linden made from memory when those nightmares began.
Nightmares?
Yeah. Look at this face, huh? Hard to believe someone as beautiful as this could give you nightmares.
Oh, fascinating green eyes.
Even more startling when contrasted with raven black hair. Who was she, Boggs?
Inspector Warren. The Pentagon call? Yes, I'll take it now. Hello? Yes, General. I know. Carl Van Linden was an extremely gifted scientist. No, I'm completely satisfied that the death was the result of perfectly natural causes. Yes, come in. What you've heard, General, are just rumors. As I see. Well, the Bureau will make that decision. Goodbye. Meddling old fool. Oh, I'm sorry, Lieutenant Carroll.
Oh, that's all right, Inspector. I'm sorry, but I'm here to give you as much trouble as the General.
About what?
The death of Carl Von Linden.
Oh, look, Carrie, I know Von Linden was a close friend of yours. But there's no mystery here. I've been going over your file. You've done an amazing job for the Bureau, and we're grateful.
Inspector.
I've also noticed you hadn't had a day off since last November.
Are you suggesting I take a vacation?
Oh, there's nothing unusual here. Many men in their prime overwork, buckle up under accumulated pressure, keel over quite suddenly, as your friend Von Linden did.
Inspector, I saw a young man in perfect physical health keel over, as you say, but it wasn't from overwork or accumulated pressure.
Harry.
I think I understand. Someone somewhere in this bureau has decided that an investigation might produce results that could be damaging.
The decision to close this case was mine. Mine alone. Now, why don't you start that vacation I've suggested?
If you say so, sir.
Good. Then why not start by coming to my home tonight? I'm giving a small dinner to introduce a young lady I've been seeing. Someone I'm rather serious about.
Well, if you don't mind, I...
Oh, you have a date? Fine, bring her. I'm sure Tara would love to meet her.
Tara?
Well, you've heard me mention her before.
No, I mean, I guess so. There'd be no other reason the name would sound familiar to me.
Yes. Well, then you will be there. 8 o'clock?
Yes, Inspector. Yeah, I'll be there.
Get that, Charles. Ah, Carrie.
Ah, Inspector.
Come in. I'm so glad you could come.
Thank you.
My guests are out on the patio. Here, let me take your coat.
Ah, thanks.
I imagine you're anxious to meet Tara, the young woman I told you about.
Yeah, very.
She's quite a bit younger than I am. I don't know her age, really. Her beauty seems timeless, and I find her fascinating.
Well, you've been a bachelor all your life. I'm sure she must be fascinating.
You'll find her exactly as I described her to you.
Oh, you never did.
I beg your pardon?
Describe her. But if I may, let me describe her to you.
Well, how can you? You've never met her.
Well, I'd still like to try. You say she's fascinating.
Yes.
Therefore, her eyes are probably cat-like in quality. I'd say they were emerald green.
Well, go on.
And since her beauty, as you put it, is timeless, she has the translucent Egyptian skin tone, pale by comparison to most women. milk white. Her hair, black. Raven black.
Bravo! An amazing deduction. I've been standing here in the shadows, and yet this handsome young man has given an intimate description of me.
Tara. Well, do come in, Tara. I'd like you to meet our new bureau expert on extrasensory perception, James Carey. Oh,
fascinated, Mr. Carey.
No more than I, Miss...
Just Tara. Call me Tara. Everyone does.
Everyone?
Oh, now, don't be jealous, darling. Carey, Carey, isn't he the young agent you were telling me about? The friend of that gifted scientist who had that unfortunate heart attack? Oh, my sympathies, Mr. Carey.
It was a great personal loss.
I understand. And yet the dead are gone. What purpose would it serve to exhume the body and perform an autopsy?
You told her of my request for an autopsy, sir?
Well, we were discussing the incident briefly.
We have no secrets.
Well...
If we're going to have silly bureau talk, I'll return to our guests. I was amused, Mr. Carey, when I entered the room, but if you insist on being intense...
No, Tara. Control that temper of yours. Don't leave. I was just trying to explain.
Yes, stay, Tara. As a favor to me.
Oh, Dr. Kadar, forgive the aprist. I did not know you had arrived.
I am sure you did not mean to be impolite.
Mr. Carey, Inspector Warren, this is an old and dear friend of mine, Dr. Stefan Kadar.
Welcome to my home, Doctor. I don't believe Tara has mentioned you before.
I have been away on a journey.
To the Middle East, Doctor?
Why do you say that?
Oh, the souvenir you wear around your neck. The silver pendant engraved with hieroglyphics, that sapphire set in the center, is an ancient Egyptian cat's eye, is it not?
You are quite observant, Mr. Carey.
Oh, Mr. Carey here is one of my staff of government investigators.
Investigating what, if I may ask?
Oh, nothing. At the moment, Doctor. I'm here as a guest, as you are. But I do find that pendant unusual... Almost hypnotic. Can't seem to take my eyes off it.
Really?
He's right. It is fascinating.
It is getting rather late. I merely stopped by to extend my best wishes. By the way, Mr. Carey, what time do you have?
Huh? Time? Oh, that's 4:15.
4:15 in the evening, sir?
Oh, I'm afraid my watch has stopped.
Has it? I suggest you check his watch, Inspector. Mr. Carey seems confused.
Yes, of course. It has stopped. No, now wait a minute. Good Lord, it's starting again. The hands are spinning. 5, 6, 7, 7:30. It's now exactly at the right time to the second.
Oh, darling, don't look so amazed. I should have warned you. Dr. Kadar is an unusual man with unusual powers.
Yes, I'll bet.
Mr. Carey is a source of exceedingly hostile vibrations. It is obvious he has little knowledge of the power of the mind.
Oh, you're wrong, Doctor. Just before you arrived, he performed an amazing feat of mental telepathy. He had never met Tara before, and yet without a single clue from me, he was able to describe her exactly.
Not nearly as impressive as your magnetic power.
Magnetic? How do you determine my power is magnetic?
To increase the forward speed of a watch, one would have to move metallic wheels and gears at an accelerated speed. To accomplish this, one would need electric or magnetic power.
Ah, clever, Mr. Carey, but entirely too logical. How would you say this is done?
I have no idea. Have you, Carey?
No, I don't.
Well, forgive my little prank. Tara, my child, you have my blessing.
Thank you, Kadar. I knew you would approve.
And now I must bid you good night.
Allow me to see you to the door, Doctor. Carey, escort Tara to the patio. I'll join you both there later.
Yes, sir. Well, they're gone. And now?
Now, Mr. Carey?
Aren't you going to suggest a walk in the garden?
You amaze me, Mr. Carey. You are not only a master of extrasensory perception, but a mind reader as well. If we leave by that door, we won't be seen. Coming?
I'm not sure.
Afraid?
Of what I can see, hear, and touch? No.
Take my hand. It is real, is it not? Alive, warm.
Who are you, Tara? Did my friend Carl von Linden ever truly know?
I know of no Carl von Linden.
There is a painting in his apartment, a portrait of a face he has seen many times in a dream.
Surely not me.
Perhaps not. But one thing I do know for sure, the death of von Linden was an unnatural occurrence. I promise you his murder will not go unpunished. And those who have done the devil's bidding will spend an eternity in hell.
We have a determined investigator in Lieutenant Charles Carey. Tara seems innocent enough, and yet her resemblance to the portrait in von Linden's apartment is too remarkable to be coincidence. Inspector Warren's fascination for the young woman could prove to be a stumbling block unless Carey can come up with cold, hard evidence linking his suspicions to fact. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, he said. I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, I answered. Then he suggested, listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married? What can I say? I guess it was love at first, Buick.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Glad your spirit's free.
Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is he whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Have passed since the untimely death of gifted space scientist Carl von Linden. The night Lieutenant Carey met the beautiful, fascinating Tara, he returned home, troubled, unable to sleep. That unforgettable face, the same face that haunted his friend von Linden, now haunts the dark recesses of his mind. Try as he might, he cannot shake off the persistent, ghostly image. Early the next morning, he and his assistant, Boggs, continue their investigation.
Now, I'll bet it was quite a shock to find that Tara is now Inspector Warren's playmate. How did she get here so quickly from Egypt? Didn't you say von Linden spoke to her by telephone that night before he collapsed?
Yeah, it could have been a fake call made by someone else or pre-taped by Tara. The possibilities are numerous.
Oh? Do they include flying across the ocean at supersonic speeds or... shall we say, on a witch's broom?
Not likely. All right, let's start with a file. See what you can dig up on a man named Kadar, Stefan Kadar.
Who's he?
A man I met at the party. Calls himself Dr. Kadar. Tall, wiry, high cheekbones, white hair.
An older man? How old would you say?
Sure, he looked ancient. And yet, he moved like a young athlete in his early 20s.
You think he's mixed up in von Linden's death?
I have a feeling there's a connection.
Tara and this Dr. Kadar?
Yeah. They seemed strangely close. I got the impression she's afraid of him. I'm going to stop off at Inspector Warren's office. Make one last attempt to get his okay for that autopsy.
That would help.
I'll see what you can find on Kadar. I'll meet you at the inspector's office in 1 hour.
Gotcha. Oh, and Carrie.
Yeah?
From what you've told me, someone out there doesn't want any further digging into this affair. So be careful.
Inspector Warren speaking. Oh, it's you, darling. No, you're not interrupting anything. Lieutenant Carey? No, as far as I know, he's on vacation. Those were my orders. The von Linden case has been officially closed. Why are you so concerned, darling? A conflict between me and Carey? No. He and I are still good friends. It's just that he has a personal interest in this one. And he can be stubborn. Darling, don't worry. I won't upset myself and I won't overwork. Darling, someone's at the door. Yes. See you tomorrow night. Goodbye. Boggs, what are you doing here?
Looking for Lieutenant Carey, sir. Isn't he here?
Here? No, he's on vacation.
Oh, yes, that. Well, he's still disturbed about the von Linden matter. He said he'd stop by to see you again about that autopsy. He was headed over here an hour ago.
Well, that's strange. You're sure he was coming here, Boggs?
Positive. He's anxious to exhume von Linden's body, have it checked out at the lab.
I told him that was out of the question.
Well, you know how he is.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm concerned about his not arriving here. When did you say he left?
Over an hour ago.
Well, he may have changed his mind. I made myself very clear. There's to be no further investigation, no exhuming of bodies, no autopsies. The case is closed.
Yes, I know, but
I'm busy, Boggs, if you don't mind.
Yeah, but I have a feeling something has happened to the lieutenant.
Nonsense.
He's always punctual. And he distinctly said I was to meet him here in an hour.
For what purpose?
I don't know. But he was definite about his instructions.
And I tell you, he hasn't been here. Now, I don't want any more about Lieutenant Carey or about the death of von Linden. The investigation is over and the case is closed.
The inspector is right, Bart.
Carey.
Where have you been, Lieutenant?
Walking. Reconsidering. The case. No need for further investigation. I have been mistaken.
I'm glad to see you finally come to your senses, Carey.
Come to his senses, sir? Look at him. He's lost all sense of time or reality. Look at his eyes. Empty. Glazed. Lieutenant Carey has been drugged. How do you feel now, Lieutenant?
I'm better. Still a little shaky.
The inspector's with the doctor.
Uh-huh.
You had a rough time for a while.
Yeah, my head sure feels like it.
Can you remember anything? Anything that might give us a lead on how you came to be in this condition?
Well, I do remember leaving the office, heading for the elevator. On the way, somebody I hadn't seen before said there was a call for me in Major Carlson's office. He's been transferred, you remember, to Rhodesia. So I picked up the phone, and a voice, it was a voice that was so familiar, it said,
Yes?
Don't press so hard, Carey. It'll come to you.
But an hour completely dropped out of my life?
Not to mention the 6 hours following. What did the doctor say, Inspector?
You'll be all right. There's no official conclusion on what actually happened to him. The lab reports all look normal.
Normal. All because we're checking out a death that the Bureau refuses to classify as a murder case.
Perhaps I have been a bit stubborn about this. At first, things did look normal. But now, I just don't know.
You can find out.
How?
Okay, that autopsy.
You talked me into this, Carrie. There better be some evidence coming out of this ghoulish matter of digging up a fresh corpse.
They've raised the coffin, Inspector. Yep. All right, man, step to one side, huh?
The coffin's intact. What now? This is your show, Carrie. Do you want it moved to the morgue for the autopsy?
Yeah, in a minute.
Well, why the delay? I thought you were eager for the report.
I am. But with your permission, I'd like them to open the coffin first.
Open it here?
That's right.
Carrie, you've been seeing too many horror movies. Exactly what's to be gained by... all right, all right. Gentlemen, if you please, open the coffin. Good Lord. It's empty.
Exactly.
But who? How?
Save the questions, Boggs. I think it's time we track down some answers. Our case is once again officially open.
After 2 days of digging into the files, we don't seem to be any further along than we were before.
Nothing on Kadar?
Not a thing. The man just doesn't exist.
Well, perhaps he doesn't.
What?
Strange creatures, Kadar and Tara. One seems able to travel at the speed of light, be in two places at once, here in Egypt, and the other, Dr. Kadar, untraceable, vanishes into thin air after making a mysterious appearance at the inspector's house.
Have you spoken to the inspector about this?
No, he's so taken with the beautiful Tara, I'm sure he won't listen to reason. Even if we had some facts to reason with.
Well, what exactly do we have?
Well, Carl von Linden met with foul play, or else his body would not have been removed from that coffin.
Jack?
And a theory, only a theory, mind you, but the murder of von Linden is part of a pattern. A brain drain that began 6 months ago, according to some checking I've been doing on my own.
Brain drain, sir?
Yeah, a series of unexplained deaths of talented scientists. Deaths that have taken place in various parts of the world.
I don't follow.
Here, these clippings from the files of the international press. Possibilities I had expected have turned out to be facts.
Which are?
Fact number one, von Linden, American space scientist, dies suddenly, cause unknown, and his body vanishes mysteriously.
Well, that's true.
Fact number two, reported in this newspaper from Leningrad. Ivan Salkovich, Russian scientist, drowned in the Baltic Sea. Body never recovered. Fact number three, Pierre Chamois, working on top secret biochemical experiments in Paris, trapped in a laboratory fire of unknown origin. Body never found, or never acknowledged to have been found by the French government.
Well, that's fascinating, but I fail to see the link.
In each newspaper, there is a mention of a theatrical performance being given that week by a psychic, a mentalist, if you will, in the same city where each tragedy has occurred. And his name? Dr. Kadar.
Kadar? What's the next step, sir?
We're going to follow the trail that's warmest, Boggs. We're going back to that grave site.
There's the entrance to the graveyard, sir.
Yeah.
Up ahead.
You got your flashlight?
Yeah.
Storm is brewing. It's getting dark.
I have it right here, sir. I'll move on ahead. Just follow me.
Right.
Can you see all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Fine, Boggs.
I wish I could say the same. Graveyards are not exactly to my taste.
Keep your eyes peeled for that gravesite.
Yeah.
I believe it's up ahead, just to your left, huh? Just beyond that large crypt? Yeah, the gravesite should be directly ahead now.
Here it is, sir.
Yeah, there it is. There's the open grave. Well, nothing seems to be changed.
What's that? The door, sir. To that large crypt.
Oh, yeah.
It's loose on its hinges, swinging in the wind.
Oh, it startled me for a moment.
Hey,
hold the light on the ground here. Huh? What's this?
Huh? What?
A silver pendant. It was half buried here in the soft earth.
Hey, I've seen that before. Those ancient Egyptian symbols.
The cat's eye. It belongs to Dr. Kadar.
Are you sure?
Positive. He was wearing it when I met him. I remember.
I remember looking into it, feeling strange, somewhat hypnotized.
Yeah, it does seem to have that quality. Turn away, Lieutenant.
I can't, Bugs. I feel controlled by a sort of supernatural presence. Look. Look. That strange ectoplasmic form there, alongside the open grave.
Well, I don't see anything, sir.
It's moving. It's moving towards the crypt. We got to follow it, Boggs. There's something there. Something the apparition wants us to see.
There's nothing there. Come back, Lieutenant. Come back!
Yes, the mind is a fragile thing. And when it is under pressure, it has been known to conjure up strange, frightening illusions. Did Lieutenant Carey actually see something hovering over the open grave? What strange force has taken control of his will? What lies waiting in that ominous crypt? We'll find out more about this deadly situation when I return shortly with Act 3.
You want your house to be a home all year round.
You can do it economically.
No matter what the weather's like outside,
you can change it so easily. So make summer a cool and sane. Turn winter into spring. It's the right time for carriers. Carriers right for the times.
To be right for the times, the air conditioning you choose for your home has got to run efficiently. And that's the beauty of Carrier's Round One. Compared to most other central units, the Round One is a good deal quieter and a lot more economical to operate. Your local Carrier dealer has a special preseason offer on the Round One. Call him on it.
So make summer a cooling thing. Turn winter into spring. It's the right time for Carrier.
This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you are one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95, subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Lieutenant Carey's murder investigation has succeeded only too well. It now looks like it may also succeed in adding the names of both Carey and Boggs to the list of unfortunate souls who have suddenly vanished. The sound you hear is a bubbling brown liquid from which emanates a shower of multicolored sparks. Giant electric coils slither up toward a mirrored ceiling, which is about to reflect an unspeakable evil. We are in a secret underground laboratory located directly up. I've said enough. I am merely your guide. You must complete the journey yourself.
Mr. Carey. Mr. Carey. You can't wake up now.
What?
Mr. Carey.
Dr. Kadar.
Precisely. I'm flattered you remember me. You are most kind. Particularly for returning my pendant. For that favor, I have spared your life and the life of your equally annoying and meddling friend, Mr. Boggs.
Boggs? Where is Boggs? Where is he?
Lying right beside you, Mr. Carey. Asleep as you were but a few moments ago. I assure you, he's all right.
Wake him. Come on, bring him around as you did me.
Certainly, as a show of good faith. Here. Here is my silver pendant. If you will merely press the eye to his forehead...
He looks so pale. Boggs. Boggs, are you all right?
Yes, Lieutenant. I think so. Where are we?
In an underground lab of some sort.
Quite correct. Still in the graveyard, gentlemen, directly under the crypt. You both descended the hidden stairs inside the tomb at my bidding. I think it is time I let you in on my little secret and put an end to your curiosity.
Who are you? Why have you brought us here?
Please, Lieutenant, don't ask any more questions.
Do you smell the air? Acrid fumes. There's an acid of some sort bubbling in those tanks.
Aha, you are right, Mr. Carey. But they are not for you. Those tanks are much too small to encompass a full-grown man. If you will look more closely, you will see they're merely the size of your head. Besides, they are already filled.
Filled? With what?
That, gentlemen, is my secret. If you will both follow me to this electronic panel, I use it as a control board.
Control? To control what?
This way, if you please. As a friend of Dr. Carl von Linden, you will be interested in what I have to show you.
Von Linden?
Yes. And Pierre Chamois. And Professor Salkovich as well.
Are you implying that these three acid tanks have something to do with the three men who have been murdered?
Murdered? That's a strong word, Mr. Carey. I have murdered no one. The men I have made reference to are still alive.
Alive? Von Linden, Chamois, and Salkovich alive?
In a medical sense, yes. When a man drowns or is horribly burned in a mysterious holocaust or merely collapses from sudden increase in heart rate, he's not necessarily dead. His body may be rigid, completely immobile, as these three you see here in this hermetically sealed glass case.
Von Linden. And the other two must be Chamois and Salkovich.
But as long as the brain continues to function, medically, a man is still alive.
These three gruesome corpses alive?
Come, gentlemen, you are looking in the wrong direction. Here are von Linden, Chamois, and Salkovich. Here, in these bubbling tanks, each containing one magnificent specimen of a superior brain. A living brain, if you will, kept alive by me.
Your goal...
Careful, Boggs. He's got his hand on that control. Electric charge. He's not...
No. Just stunned. He will be all right, but that was rather foolish.
But where did that bolt of power come from?
That? Oh, that was through the courtesy of Mr. Chamois. I merely pressed this button to activate his brain and direct the power surge. Mr. Chamois did the rest.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Considering only one brain was activated. Imagine, if you will, the deadly destruction that would ensue if all three were activated at once.
What hit me?
Brainwave, Boggs, from one of those tanks, the one containing the brain of Mr. Chamois.
I suggest you do not try anything foolish. I do not wish to harm you, gentlemen. As I told you, I am not a murderer, merely a man of science devoted to organic and biochemical experiments.
Yeah, you mean like the one you conducted in France? Explosive gas, one that causes laboratories to go up in flames?
One of my minor efforts. Actually, it's a refinement of the ancient Egyptian fire. The container need not be cumbersome. A small lead-encased perfume vial set to go off at the precise moment.
Yeah, we already know the way it worked on Professor Chamois.
The poor fool. He was too in love with my beautiful Tara. Her perfume spray left in his coat pocket. Tara has been most helpful. She has brought me 3 magnificent specimens.
But brains without bodies?
I have no need for bodies, Mr. Carey. I have accomplished my objective. Superior brain power. A living, thinking power. Celebrating at my command. It is I who control them. And with them, I now have the power to build or destroy. As I wish it, when I wish it, where I wish it.
I will admit that little experiment you just demonstrated was impressive. For a minor achievement.
Minor achievement?
Oh, come now. I've seen more exciting electrical displays at our own local Museum of Science and Industry. Haven't you, Boggs?
Yeah, sure. Much more exciting, sir.
I see. You're testing me, are you, Mr. Carey? Trying to discover just what sort of power I have under my control. If it is excitement you want, gentlemen, I will be most happy to oblige with a little help from my friends. Professor Sarkovich! A shower of white-hot sparks, if you please, blocking the door in case our visitors decide to make hasty exit in the middle of the show.
Good Lord. Will you look at that?
Keep back, Fudge.
Now you, Dr. von Linden, a needle sharp laser beam, blue liquid fire, separating our 2 guests. Hold them prisoner, each to his own side of the room.
Ah, watch it, Fudge. That was too close for comfort.
And now, once again, I call on you, my good Chamois. Repeat your past performance. Strike Mr. Boggs with a kinetic bolt of current. This time, increasing the power to killing equation.
No, wait. Stop. You've proven your point. Dr. Kadar, we've seen enough.
I hear you, Mr. Carey. And so it seems of Salkovich, Chamois, and von Linden. The electrical display, as you put it, is over.
I must admit, that was really something.
Thank you. It has not been easy to develop this violence. These men are peaceful by nature. At times they resist and are not easy to control.
You mean you shock them? That's how you control them?
With embedded heated electrodes. They have no love for me, my 3 professors, but they obey. And soon I will have more corpses. More brains.
And that's where Tara comes in.
Yes. Most beautiful child. But like most beautiful women, she has an insatiable need for power.
Which you provide. But why has she bestowed her gifts on Inspector Warren, huh?
Inspector Warren was not chosen for his brain, but for his social contacts in your space program. He has had his uses.
Had
his uses? At this very moment, Tara is placing a small vial in his coat pocket. The incendiary charge is set to go off at midnight when she's safely out of range of the deadly Egyptian fire.
And the newspapers will report another unfortunate accident.
Exactly. It is just past 11:30. Ah, you're not thinking of anything heroic right now, are you, Mr. Carey?
No, I was thinking about your 3 captive professors, how they must hate you.
Hate me?
Yeah, well, they must know what you have done to them, how you torture them, and for what purpose. What if they were to make a concerted effort to fight back? How much damage do you think they could do, huh?
The thought is too fearful to contemplate.
But what if they try, Doctor, and succeed in wresting control from you?
It's impossible. I am in full control.
Well, then there is no harm in my urging them on, is there? Carl, do you hear me? Join forces with your tortured colleagues. Combine your mental powers. Rid yourselves of this madman once and for all.
Ah, stop, stop you are confusing
no,
them.
No, I don't think so, Doctor. I think they know exactly what they are doing.
The beam, the laser, we've not know. Follow them. Stop, stop. Turn the missile beam to our
yes,
me.
That's it, Carr. One surge of power. Destroy it all and you're free.
Ah, the fire. And it's blinding. Ah.
The vials, sir. They're all exploding. Run for it, Boggs. Run for it, or we'll never get out of here alive.
I can't believe it, Lieutenant. That chamber of horrors, it was like a nightmare.
Keep your eyes on the road, Boggs.
It's getting close to midnight.
Yeah. Ah, there's the house up ahead. Quick, pull into the driveway.
Yes, sir. And there's Tara, just coming out on the porch. We made it.
Yeah.
Inspector Warren is
yeah,
with us.
Okay, turn your lights off. We'll move in slowly.
Right, sir. It isn't likely that hidden vial will go off while she's still with it.
Well, I wouldn't bet on it. A madman like the late Dr. Kadar was capable of anything. Okay, stay in the shadows.
You've really been a delightful guest, darling. But really, you mustn't stay any longer.
I can never bear to leave you.
But it's almost midnight. I'd love for you to stay, but...
Would you, Tara?
Carrie. And Boggs. What are you two doing here?
I'll explain in a minute, Inspector. Give me your coat.
My coat?
Yeah, that won't be necessary. I found what I want here in your pocket. Tara's perfume vial.
You're mistaken, Mr. Carey. That vial is not mine.
Oh, but it is, darling. I recognize the scent.
Please step back.
What are you doing?
I'm going to throw this vial as far as I can across the highway into that open field.
Good Lord. What was in that? It is the heat. Suffocating. What chemical could cause that explosion?
We'll never know, sir. We'll never know.
They say Inspector Warren was quite devastated at the thought that his sweet, innocent Tara was fooling around behind his back. But you'll be happy to know he's forgiven her and sees her regularly, every Sunday, on Visitor's Day at the State Correctional Institution. I'll be back shortly.
Winter's over. Spring is here. I'm Debbie Reynolds, and I know. Because the big annual spring sale is on right now at Singer. It's your chance to get the fabulous Futura 2 machine in a magnificent sewing center cabinet. And save $100. You can even get a Singer zigzag machine, sale price at just $88. Well, there are lots of machines on sale at the big spring sale going on now. So, what are you waiting for? Hurry to Singer. Tell them Debbie sent you.
It's here, the giant new 1976 edition of that all-time favorite, the Guinness Book of World Records. It's crammed with over 2,000 new and amazing achievements from every corner of the globe. Learn who's the tallest living woman. Find out who holds the record as the fastest kisser. This 1976 edition has more categories than ever, more photos than ever, and is more fun-filled than ever. The Guinness Book of World Records, a phantom book wherever paperbacks are sold. You'll love it.
Most crime stories have a message. Ours do not. They are offered as pure entertainment. But for those who insist on a message, we offer you a choice of two. For the good guys, we have a word of caution. When it comes to a romantic liaison with a beautiful woman, look before you leap. It could be a matter of love or death. And to the bad guys, a word of advice from Oscar Wilde, who warns, murder is always a mistake. One should never do anything one cannot discuss after dinner. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Robert Dryden, Stotz Cotsworth, and Carol Tytel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
No. No, as far as Will's concerned, I can't know anything about all this, Lester.
And what do you gain by pretending you're just as dumb as he is?
Well, in the first place, he's not dumb. In the second place, it's a good way to build a happy marriage.
Well, I don't know what I can do, Martha.
Well, you tell Joe B. this, for me. Tell him the very next time he sneaks into the house to switch those turtles, I might just be waiting there with a 12-gauge.
Now, Martha, there's no need to get
it. Now, I might just be a scared and nervous lady alone in the house, frightened by what I think is a prowler. I could be so frightened out of my wits, I might just shoot first.
Now, Martha, you're only looking for trouble.
Now, just think, if I kill him by mistake, the joke, finally, would be on him, wouldn't it?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Carrier Air Conditioning. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. KOI in Portland, AM 97. Bill Garrity in the Moonwatch follows Midnight News from CBS.
CBS News. Sponsors of a UN Security Council resolution critical of Israel are trying to reword some sections of the document to avoid an American veto. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. An informal draft resolution is being circulated by nine nations which seek to have the Security Council condemn Israel for repressive measures in the occupied West Bank of Jordan. The sponsors met privately last night in what observers said was an effort to reword certain sections of the document to make it acceptable to the United States. Both the U.S. and Great Britain said they were unable to accept the original draft as outlined in a working paper. U.S. Ambassador William Scranton has left uncertain just what the United States' attitude will be toward a resolution condemning Israel. On Tuesday, he told the council that Washington considered Israel's annexation of Jerusalem and establishment of Jewish settlements in the occupied lands illegal. That drew an official objection at the State Department yesterday from Israeli Ambassador Simcha Dinitz. CBS News continues following this message.
Movies, 1976. I'm Lee Jordan inviting you to a weekend of the tops. The movies, 1976. What's it like to win an Academy Award? I talked with Sidney Poitier about how he felt when he won.
I'm smiling and I'm applauding, you know, and suddenly I realized that it's my name they just called, you know. So I leaped up about 10 feet off the seat and I didn't run down the aisle right away, you know. I stood there in the aisle spinning around, saying, I won! I won!
There'll be excitement this year, too. I'll talk with nominees in all categories on the movies 1976. 30 special broadcasts the weekend of the 27th to 28th. You'll hear about films like Jaws, Hearts of the West, Nashville, and many others. We'll talk with the year's top actors, actresses, producers, and directors. The movies 1976, the weekend of March 27th to 28th on the CBS Radio Network.
President Ford is urging a public health campaign of unprecedented scope, the vaccination of every man, woman, and child in America before next winter. The objective? To prevent a potentially dangerous epidemic of flu from a swine virus dormant for almost half a century. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare David Matthew says even if the vaccination program is completed, it won't mean the United States will be flu-free next winter.
There are many different kinds of flu, and even though we will hope to inoculate 200 million people to protect them against this particular kind of flu, that does not mean that they are protected from flu in general. Flu is almost a generic disease. It covers a term for a disease that covers many varieties. We wouldn't want to have 200 million people inoculated feeling that they were protected from flu and then come down with some other form of it and be surprised.
The White House announced President Ford will ask Congress to appropriate $135 million before its Easter recess so enormous quantities of vaccine can be ordered and work can get underway immediately on mobilizing medical and public health services for the vaccination campaign.
The Senate has passed a compromise bill to restructure the Federal Election Commission and make other changes in the 1974 campaign finance law. CBS News correspondent Mariah McLaughlin has more details on the measure, passed by a vote of 55 to 28.
The bill calls for presidential appointment of the Federal Election Commissioners, thus meeting the objection in the recent Supreme Court decision. Other provisions would call for disclosure of money spent by businesses and unions, urging their employees to get out and vote or to support a particular candidate. Another provision calls for yearly public financial disclosure by all federal employees making over $25,000. That would also apply to all candidates running for federal office. One section of the bill would terminate federal matching funds to any presidential candidate who failed to receive 10% of the vote in two consecutive primaries. And the Senate included a little something for members of Congress in their version of the bill. It would remove any limitation on the amount of money a congressman can receive for making a speech. The House won't go to work on its own bill until next week, so it will be some time before the federal matching funds again flow to presidential candidates. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
If I could leave one thing with you, would I leave the dirt behind? I'd like to leave a bright blue sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd be free. A life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy, this is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your prayer.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
A pair of earthquakes rumbled through parts of at least seven Mississippi Basin states last night. They were measured at between 4.5 and 5 on the Richter scale, putting them into the minor to moderate class. Damage appeared minor. There were no reports of injuries. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Music Radio 97. Good morning. My name's Bill Garrity. This is Thursday, March 25th. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.